Genesis chapter 4. Man, I'm glad spring's gotten here, whatever it's doing. Looked out there in the woods now. The leaves are coming out enough to where it's starting to make shadows on the ground when the sun shines. I like that. It'll be nice here pretty soon. Then it'll be too hot. We have a lot of pollen to deal with. We'll be up. Amen. We'll suffer through. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And the Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? He said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives, and the name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and those that are here come out to hear your word, and we thank you for that. I pray you speak to our hearts, meet with us. Lord, we know nothing's accomplished without you. We're asking for that tonight. Help us, Lord. Give us strength. Encourage us to be faithful. We put it all into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Living without God, I shared that with you this morning. Living on purpose or walking with God. This might be interpreted, walking without God. And I spoke about Enoch this morning, walking with God. And so now we see a man, Cain, walking without God, and actually started a whole generation, a whole society of people that actually lived or walked apart from God. And, we're going to see how that looks, what that looks like. And actually, you should notice pretty quickly that it looks a whole lot like the society that we live in today as a whole. The general part of society is living or walking, not walking with God or living apart from God. Cain was a rebel. He was in rebellion against God, and much of the world is in rebellion today, the world that we live in today. The Bible says that God put a mark when he was concerned about being killed, that God put a mark upon him. It was a mark of grace. The Bible doesn't tell us what the mark was. what it looked like, where it was. It just said it was a mark upon him. So he was living with the mark of grace, and he was living on in a world a whole lot like the world, as I said, does today. Their sense of guilt, I want you to, this is applying today too, and it did in that day, that the world's sense of guilt is eased by their cultural development and their geographical expansion. And the way that, define that a little bit more for you, I think there's a lot of people in the world today, you know, we like a crowd. We like people that go along with us. You know, when you get a whole lot of people on your side, people thinking like you think, you think you're right. You know, you feel better. And you start to come out of the closet. That would be a good term. We see that term today. That's happened, by the way. You start coming out of the closet with things. And you get more bold in your rejection of God. And more bold in your announcement that there is no God. And so we see we're living in a world like that today. And it was a generation that was started by Cain in his day. That ungodly line of Cain. And then there was a godly line of Seth. That was the next child that Adam and Eve had, but there was an ungodly line started. That line still exists today, and I think you know, today people are getting bolder and bolder, and they have less of a sense of guilt because they, you know, we hear there's that term out there. Well, everybody else is doing it. It doesn't matter. You know, when you even your kids, you go up and say, well, look, you shouldn't be doing it, but everybody else is doing it, so they feel better. There's less of a sense of guilt if you know everybody else is doing it. And then because of geographical expansion, we've got, there's more and more and more people in the world that are not walking with God, and they feel better about it because there's more. You know, that numbers thing, that plays into their confidence as well. So we see a rebel. We see rebels in the world. And when a person rejects God's way, they become a rebel in every other way. If they reject the way of God, they become a rebel in every other way. Cain, we saw very early on, he rejected God's way of salvation. You know, Adam and Eve, I try to point this out to people. I heard a guy one time preaching. I said, man, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He said, if you raise your kids up and they don't come out right, he said, well, you just didn't raise them right. I disagree, but right there in Genesis, right there, I guarantee you that they loved Cain just as much as they loved Abel. They taught Cain the right thing. They were worshipers of God. They worshiped God a certain way, and they taught their children how to worship God. And God said, you got to bring animals because we got to have blood. We got to have the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. They had that, but Cain decided, you know what? I don't have no animals. I'm not going to buy no animals. I'm not going to pay for no animals. I'm a farmer, and I'm going to bring the fruit. I bet you they were good-looking fruit. I bet you it was the best fruit. Remember, this is really early on in the world's history. Sin hadn't corrupted the earth. I bet you they was the biggest pumpkins, biggest watermelons, biggest tomatoes, whatever they were. I bet it was the best fruit it was, but it wasn't what God said. He rejected the way of salvation. And boy, when you reject the way of salvation, you're already rebelling against God. And so everything else goes downhill after that. And so we see that. He became a murderer. Then the Bible says that he became a wanderer. He became a builder. And that implies this way, you know, he was doing his own thing. He was building, making things. You know, he was doing what he could do without God. He did all these things without God. And we see that going on in the world today. And so, like I said, we see Cain's family, his line. We saw, if you read farther down there, you'll see one of his kids ended up killing somebody. And so they followed in his footsteps, so to speak. And so we also see the very first case in verse 19, the very first case where of polygamy, where Cain's line rejected God's plan for marriage. It says his son took two wives, and that wasn't God's plan for marriage. You never wonder, that's the first time you see that in the Bible. There was two wives. And so, you know, you start to rebel against God everywhere. That's what we see in society today. And then we see the phrase right there. God said, listen, if thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted in verse 7. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And this is what that means. It means that if you reject God, if you reject God's way, that sin, evil, Satan, however you want to term it, is lying there crouching, ready to pounce on you, your life, get control of your life. And that's exactly what happened to Cain as he went, of course, he went into murder and killed his brother and then all the other things that he fell into. Jude chapter 11 talks about the way of Cain. There's a term, there's several ways. I'll just briefly speak to you about them here. The way of Cain. The way of Cain is this. It's religion without faith. Now, buddy, that's a problem I see today, and it goes on in churches, good churches, where the Bible's preached. People want religion without having faith. What does that look like? That just looks like when you come stumbling in on Sunday morning, sit down there, listen to the message, maybe even like the message. That's a good point, Pastor. I like that. Go back home. The gospel has no impact on your life. You're not trusting God for anything. You're just trusting in everything else that goes on in the world. You have no personal relationship with God other than coming to church. Maybe glancing at the Bible, maybe not. Maybe a cursory prayer, maybe not. That is the way of Cain. It was a religion without having a faith. It was based on character, based on good works. It's based on pride. We see that in the world today. The Bible talked about the way of Balaam. That was just selling one's spiritual gifts and ministry versus the sole purpose of just making money, selling out to the highest bidder. And then in Jude also talks about the way of Korah. Numbers 16 talks about that, and it says that's rebellion against authority. Korah led a rebellion against Moses' leadership, dared God to do anything about it. And I'm going to tell you, God did do something about it, and it killed him and his family. And so all these things, listen, anybody that's living apart from God is a rebel against God. I mean, that's they're living in open rebellion. So anyway, back to Cain. He rejected God's way. He wanted to do things his way, and he did it his way. And we're going to look and see how that all planned out, how that turned out. See, because you got to, like I said this morning, you can walk with God or you can walk apart from God. There are going to be two different results from walking with God or walking apart from God. The very first thing we see that happens to him, it seems like this is a biggie. He kind of fell right off into it right away. Well, he rebelled. He rejected God's way of salvation, or even rejected God's way of worship when he, and God even questioned him about it. God gave him a chance to repent, ask him about that. He said, listen, if you do well, listen, I'll accept it. But doesn't that show you something right there? You can't worship God any old way you want to. You can't, even though it wasn't, to him it was an act of worship, to God it wasn't. It makes you think, doesn't it? What do we do that we think it's an act of worship, but to God it's not? I mean, you got to worship God's way. You couldn't just come any old way. You couldn't just give God whatever you want to give God. You have to do it the way God said. And then the next thing you know, of course, what happens when you get out of fellowship with God, I'm going to tell you real quick, you're going to get out of fellowship with everybody else. You ever run into people, the angry people? There's people out there, they're just angry about everything. I mean, they get up in the morning, they got a sour on their face, man. Look like somebody's done messed up their cornflakes before things got started. And they're just aggravated, angry, mad all the time, angry about it. What it is their relationship with God is sour, and so they get mad at everybody else. I mean, what did Abel do? Abel hadn't done nothing. He just did what God said to do. I mean, that's all it was. And so Cain, he's angry about that. That relationship between him and God, and then that affected a relationship with him and people. And I tell you what, it works in reverse. You get your relationship jacked up with people, it's going to be jacked up with God too. It's not going to be right. It can be an ongoing issue. He became an angry man. He became an arrogant man. He became an unreasonable man. I mean, God reasoned with him. He talked to him about it a couple times. He talked to him about it even after he killed his brother. He went out there and talked to him, but you know what? He didn't listen. He became jealous of his brother. And all Abel did was do what God said. And then he became a liar on top of that. God came out and said, well, where's your brother? I don't know. That was a lie. He knew, see, it's falling. Man, it's going south in a hurry. Huh? He didn't worship God right. He didn't go God's plan of salvation. Became an angry man. Killed his brother. How long do you think? Just think about this. It makes it says that it doesn't say. It doesn't give you a timeline on that. Did God rejected his offering that day, and Cain went out and killed his brother that day? It doesn't say. Good chance it wasn't the same day. He probably killed his brother in his anger. The Bible says, you know, that if you have hate, that it's the same as murder. He probably had hated his brother, had anger against his brother long before he actually physically killed him. He had killed his brother in a spiritual sense. He went on, and deceived his brother, somehow got out in the field with him alone. God asked him, "Where's your brother?" "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" "Yes, you are." That's the answer to that, by the way. He didn't know it, but he was. "You are your brother's keeper. Look out for your brother." But guess what? He was a child of the devil. If you're not walking with God, guess who's going to slip up there beside you? Huh? You know, you're walking along, just think you're walking along, minding your own self. Everything's okay. If God's not with you, somebody going to slip out of their clothes. I remember when I was in the Navy, we went to the Bahamas, got off the boat, man. I mean, I was just crowded people walking around. I'd been sick for days, and I was kind of a little woozy from having tonsillitis. I'm walking along there just minding my own business. And some guy comes up beside me, taps me in the palm of my hand. He said, don't look at me. He said, "What do you want?" He said, "I can get you anything, drugs, women." You know, that's the devil done slid up there, man. I said, "Man, just get out of here, man. I don't want nothing you got. And get on out of here." I went down there and bought my $10 cheeseburger at Burger King in the Bahamas. Everything's high. That's kind of how it works. Though, if God's not walking with you, the devil's going to come up there, and he's going to walk right along with you. And so he was a child of the devil in that sense, because he was a liar. The Bible says that the devil is the father of lies and the father of all liars. That's what the Bible says. And God asked Cain some questions. Remember when God came to Adam and Eve? He said, he came up to them after they had sinned. He said, "Hey, Adam, where y'all at?" And now God knew where they were. What was God doing when he asked him? I think I preached on this a while back. What was God doing when he asked him? He was giving them an opportunity to confess. Say, "Hey, here we are, we're hiding, we sinned, we messed up." You know, they were hiding from God. He comes up to Cain and he says, "Hey, Cain, where's Abel at?" Now God knew. God already knew he killed him. What's he doing? He's doing the same thing. It's an opportunity to say, "God, I got to confess. I've done something bad. I've killed my brother. I became angry. I killed my brother." God would have forgave him. God would have forgave him, but he didn't do it. He questioned him like that. And he now listen, here's another thing. I got a little star. See, when I got something really I think that's good, I put a star by it. It sticks out. I got a star by this right here. Remember just a little while back? Didn't he try to worship God? So let's get it in the New Testament, see. If they had a church, he would have been at church. And he went out and murdered his brother. Left the altar of God, left the supposed or trying to, it wasn't accepted worship, but to him it was. He said he thought he was worshiping God, left the worship of God and went out and killed his brother. Ooh. Huh? Fill in the blank. Come on into church. Boy, we could talk all night. We could hang up right here for a long time. Come into church, and then y'all in there smiling and grinning and singing, you know, "Revive Us Again," and boy, you know, all them songs. And then get in the car with your spouse, and y'all are jawing and back and running, can't even hardly drive the car, you know, all the way back to the house. Get in there and kick the dog when you get home. Huh? Yell at the kids. Huh? Huh? Come on. Ain't that right? I mean, you know what? I'm saying then, or get in the car and boy, that old so-and-so, I just hate that. I just hate what they do. And you know what I'm saying? Your heart's not right. You got that hate in there. You know, you're murdering somebody before you even get back to the house. And that old so-and-so, she's so prissy. I tell you, I just can't believe. Huh? Yeah, boy, I mean, we get in there. Huh? Larry and Stephanie are going to kill each other on the pew right there. Before we even, huh? Huh? Listen, man, I mean, you know what? This kind of stuff, it goes on in churches all the time. I mean, man, we're going up here, we're trying to worship God, and the next thing we go back home, huh? Listen, man, I tell you what, there's been reports and stuff like this. I mean, it's a small town, you can't do nothing. People drive, go down to church service and leave the church service and down there buying beer right after they get out of the church service down there. Must have thought we was having communion on Sunday night, huh? I mean, all kind of stuff that you shouldn't do. Same thing. Exact same thing. Killed his brother after he left, had been attempting to worship God. Didn't work. So So he was a murderer. You see, he was a liar. It went along with it. The second thing was he was a wanderer, says in verse 14. This is Cain talking to God. He said, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." In verse 13, he said, Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Somebody wrote this, said, "A vagabond has no home. A fugitive is running from home. A stranger is away from home, but a pilgrim is heading home." Now, a pilgrim is walking with God, and all the rest of them are not right there. Like I said, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, God cursed the serpent, but he didn't curse Adam and Eve. Cursed the earth. He did curse the earth. He did curse the serpent. But he didn't curse, technically, Adam and Eve, other than a death, but it wasn't a specific curse. But you know what here it says? That he put a curse. Look at verse 11. "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength." In other words, Larry, he couldn't grow no taters because the little shrews and the mice and that ate them every time they started coming up out of the ground. You know what I mean? Huh? He couldn't grow nothing. I know some of his relatives, Cain's relatives. I know people got brown thumb. And they look at a plant, it dies. I won't say who. He cursed him. Now think about it. That a person can get to the place in rejecting God where God curses him. Huh? Listen, man, when God curses you, it's over. Time after time, he had every opportunity. Now, God put a curse on him. Well, what about, I wonder what would have happened maybe if Cain had to change his mind way down the road and then he went to God and he repented and he called. I mean, I don't know. You know, I can only speculate, but I just know God put a curse on him. I don't know about you. I don't want a curse on me if it's a day. Huh? I don't want a curse on me no time from God. God put a curse on him, cursed by God. And again, he said he would never have fruit from his labor. So he could not continue to be a farmer. That's what he did. He was a farmer. So God was going to blow on everything that he tried to grow. It was not going to grow. It wasn't going to yield anything. He wasn't going to be able to make a living being a farmer. So then he said he was going to be a vagabond. That meant he had to wander around from place to place to place and try to eke out a living doing something. You know, just doing whatever he could do, begging maybe even, whoever knows. Wander all over the place. Now, you think about this. How many people in the world, I'm talking about the world out there, this generation of Cains that's gone on through the centuries. Listen, and that whole generation got wiped out by the flood, but they popped back up in Noah's line, you know, later on and repopulated the earth. How many people live their life like that? Don't you know people like that? I mean, they just, you know, never satisfied, always going from one thing to another, going all around, bouncing all around, you know, not only, maybe not even geographically, but, you know, emotionally like that, never satisfied with things, barely making ends meet, barely making it, always struggling to survive. Never, you know, listen, man, there's this area around here, there's tons of people live like that. You know, they just, it's just like all their life, man, they're barely getting by, barely getting along, barely just struggling to never accomplish anything. This was going to be Cain's life. This was going to be his whole life. All he had to do was repent, but he didn't do it. Now listen, look at verse 13 and 14. The Lord's talking to him. Now listen, you got an audience with the Lord. He's talking to God. He had a chance to repent, confess, repent. God put a curse on him, just like you know, you wonder about like Judas, and he said, you know, whatever you got to do, do quickly. Whoever dips in the sop with me, he's the one that's going to betray me. Lord Jesus says that, and Judas goes on, dips in the sop anyway. Good grief. Huh? I mean, and then, you know, and then he had a chance, he had every chance to turn, he didn't do it. And the Lord tells him, and this is what he said, this is what his big concern is. My punishment is greater than I can bear. He didn't say my guilt is greater than I can bear. He said my punishment is greater than I can bear. Only the punishment. He was concerned about his punishment and not his character. He didn't say, you know what, the guilt is more. I'm so remorseful I can't really bear it. No, he just said my punishment I'm worried about what's going to happen to me, you know, when I'm out there. And he had a problem. If he stayed in one place very long, he was going to starve to death. And then he said, look, if I wander around, he says, somebody's going to kill me. He had created for himself an intolerable life. It was a real problem. I mean, traveling like those days, there was highwaymen, robbers and things. So traveling was not a safe thing to do. You know, you got into a city where there were people. So he had to wander. So he's worried about it. He had restlessness with no remedy. And God said, I'm going to put a mark on you. As I mentioned earlier, it's a mark of grace. We don't know what it was. And that's not the biggest mystery. Why did God do it? Why did God put a mark on him? I mean, that song we played today on the video thing, were it not for grace, it was just grace. Was God giving him a longer time to repent? Was that why? Had more time to turn and turn his life around? I don't know. Maybe that's the answer. I'd like to think of it that way. So we see that he was a wanderer. This is a life without God. A life of walking without God. And then we see he was a builder in 16, read 16 down on there. He dwelt in the land of Nod, and he builded a city in verse 17. Knew his wife. He builded a city. And then he named it after his son, Enoch. It's not the same Enoch that we talked about. It's another one. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But what happens when a society that rebels against God? When we look at this right here, what happens to a society that rebels against God? In this case, it prospered. It prospered. Look at the world we live in today. Look at the United States. It's living apart from God as a whole, really. But prosperity's not a problem. I mean, look, it said what he did. Look what they did. He said he built a city, so you got enough people to make a city, so you multiplied that there. We already saw in verse 19, they rejected God's plan for marriage. But it says, then they had some other another son in verse 20. And there was a father such that dwell in tents and such have cattle. So we see cattle. That's a lot of cows. Not like one cow. That's a lot. And then we see people that could handle the harp and the organ, musical instruments. You know what that is? That represents culture. They had culture. They had music. Then we had people that was instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. I mean, brass and iron in that day, they had it. This is way back. They were messing around. They had brass, iron. You can do a lot with brass and iron. You know, the Iron Age, things. And there. So we see a society, things were going on. They were marrying and giving in marriage, like it said in Noah's day. They had brass, they had iron. So they had some technology of the day. They could build things. They had music. They had some culture. They had entertainment. What's the big number one thing in the world today? What's everybody seeking after every chance they get? Pleasure. Want some entertainment. Want pleasure, man. Want to go out and have a good time and all that. They had it. That was what was going on. So, and culturally, financially, we see a prosperous society that was built without God. It was built, started by a man who's wasn't walking with God. Still the grace of God that's in there. But we also see murder and crime down there. I didn't read. I read verse 22. But Lamech there, he went and had killed somebody. One of the sons there. But we see it all going on. Now God didn't tell us all that so that we would envy these people. You know, are we to envy what the world's doing? That's a problem for Christians today. We look out there and they say, oh man, look at all the wickedness and the evil out there. And you know people that are godless or have nothing to do with God. And boy, it seems like everything's going well. Man, I mean, they got it, you know, money's going rolling in. They got the cars. They got the houses. Man, they got the vacation property. Man, they got it going on. You're thinking, man, you know, there's a lot of places in the Bible even talk about that. People that, you know, but you know, that's not to tempt you. That's not to tempt you to look at that. You know, we're not to emulate them or we're not to envy them. God's children shouldn't do that. They did everything that any society without God would do. That does the same thing. Defy God. They defy his law. They seek pleasure. They're self-indulgent. Everything was going on right there in that one little few little verses right there that we see going on and at the same time. But you know something, when you go over to the next chapter, and I didn't read that, you keep reading about, it's got genealogy in there, and there's this one common denominator. It says, and he died. I got them underlined, matter of fact, every like third, fourth voice, verse 5, talked about Adam lived 930 years, and he died. And then you go on up there, and it talks about Seth, all his days were 912 years, but guess what? And he died. And then Enos, he lived 90 years, and he lived after that 815 years, so he was over 900 years old. And guess what? He died. Then on down there, Canaan, he lived 910 years, and guess what? He died. And Mahalalel, he was 890 and 5 years, and guess what? He died. And you keep on going, Jared up there, 960 and 2 years. In verse 20, he died. In verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not. We talked about him this morning. He didn't die. He's the only one that didn't die. Everybody else died. Huh? You know what? You can go ahead and build and run and rip and make all kind of money and have all kind of culture and have all kind of vacations and all that, and guess what? You're going to die. It's going to die one day. That was the common denominator about the whole thing. Everybody died. And notice the names. You know, when I was reading those names up there, had Enoch. I told you it's not the same Enoch that we got over here, right? And then some of those names sounded like Methuselah, like that Enoch's son, right? It's not the same. You know why? Because the society out here, and Satan he's a counterfeiter. Satan counterfeits everything. He's counterfeiting the line of Cain. He's counterfeiting the line of Seth with the line of Cain. He's naming the kid. The names are even kind of matching up. That's how much of a counterfeiter that he is, trying to imitate the godly line of Seth. But here's the thing: Satan can't produce believers. Man, that's walking without God. Look at all that. That's how you live, walking without God. What else is there to do? Think about it. What else? I used to say this all the time. That John Lennon song, Imagine. You know, imagine there's no heaven. Is that what it says? Imagine there's no heaven. And no heaven above us, no hell below us, and all that. Everybody living for today. Isn't that what everybody's doing now? I mean, if there wasn't no heaven and no hell and everybody was living one day, and he's singing like, oh, you know, it'd be great. No, it wouldn't be great. It would be the most ruthless society that you can imagine on earth. There's no heaven, no hell, no consequences for your actions. Every man for himself. You're living for today. What you can get for today. Huh? You better sleep at night with a gun in your hand. Huh? You won't even go to sleep at night. People be creeping around as it is, stealing stuff, murdering people, raping people. Man, I mean, it would be just taking everything. It would be just the most unreal place that ever was. Everybody living for today. Pretty much, that's what, if you don't have God, you got to live for today. I mean, what else? That's it. I mean, if I was going to live without God, listen, get everything you can get. Get up, because this is it. This is your life without God. Get all you can get. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians are living like they're only living for today. They're trying to get all they can get and have God as well. You got choices to make. See, you can walk with God or walk apart from God. The consequences are different. It's not to say, we see right here, it's not to say, hey, you can go ahead and walk apart from God. You can be successful in this world. You can be prosperous in this world. Huh? You can make a living. You can have a good time. You can rip and run. But I'll tell you what, you're not going to live 900 years like they were in those days. And I'm going to tell you what, in short years, it's going to be over with quicker than you think. Huh? Quicker than you think. I was telling Sherry that I was out there last night, yesterday, right around and mowed the grass a little bit, and I was looking, the leaves are coming out. And every spring I think about this. I say, man, them leaves pop out. And in the fall, them things are going to change colors. They're going to fall on the ground. And there they are laying. And in the spring, they're going to pop out again. And you know what? Now you notice how the time, Brian was saying, man, it's almost May. Can't believe it's almost May. And them leaves are popping and falling at a quicker rate than they did when I was a kid. And I was thinking about it since my dad died in 2013. We already had several leaves that popped out on them same trees. He lived right there in that house. Them same trees, them leaves popped out, and they fell off, and they popped out and fall off. And them leaves are going to fall off. The Lord don't come back. They'll fall off this fall. Spring, time goes. I'll tell you what, life will be over. Yeah, you can live, you can walk without, you can walk through this life, you can make it. Mm-hmm. But you can't make it in the next life. It's the consequences. And he died. Everybody's going to die. The Lord don't come back except Enoch. Enoch did picture the one this morning. He pictured the church, the rapture, walking with God, that people that'll be alive when the Lord comes back. He pictured that. But if he don't come back, we're going to die. And you got the choice to make. You can walk with God. You can walk apart from God. But the spiritual side of things. Boy, you keep rejecting God, rejecting God, rejecting God, rebelling against God. Huh? God might put a curse on you. Huh? God might just one day say, hey, that's it. I remember my pastor preached a message on that one time. I thought about it as in a different text, but when God gave him up, you know, Romans talks about that. And there's a day of grace, and we don't know when it is. And I mentioned this about Cain. God put it, I don't understand it totally. I don't know if anybody does. None of the commentators knew. Why God did it, we don't know. If Cain, since he cursed him and he had rejected, and now God knew, and God knows he's omniscient, he knows what somebody's going to do. But what if about 50 years from later? I mean, they lived a long time. What about 800 years down the road? And Cain says, you know what, I've been a fool. Well, if he turned to God, could he have gotten saved? I don't know. God put him, kept him alive. That was a mark of grace, he kept him alive. But I believe there's people that have rejected God. My pastor, I remember he preached on that one time, that people had rejected God for the last time, and God never deal with them again. I don't know who they are. Huh? That'd scare you right there if he's lost, wouldn't it? That'd scare you right there if you were lost. You can walk with God or you can walk away from God. It's your choice. Let's all stand with our heads.